Award-winning and Giller Prize-nominated author Anna Kana Schofield has returned with a brilliant new book entitled Bina, A Novel in Warnings, published by Knopf Canada. In it, Bina warns the reader through dashed-off notes on random pieces of paper and discarded envelopes, a complex tale that slowly unfolds, revealing not only the frustrations she's had to endure, but her involvement in an act in which she may or may not have been directly involved. It's complex, it's funny, and I found it disturbing all at the same time. And Anna Kana Schofield joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Now, the style of this novel, this is where I want to start. It really affected me unlike anything I've read before. The only analogy, because this is what people are asking me, so what's it like? That I can come up with in popular culture is the Christopher Nolan film Memento, where the main character can't remember what has happened. It is only cryptic tattoos to remind him. How did you come up with this unique way of writing this novel? Did it start this way in brief little notes?
Well, Bina is my third novel.
Yep.
I'm very interested in form.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I always have to find a form. For the novel. Bina was a character in my first novel, yes. Malarkey. She was the best friend of the main character. And so I imagined her a bit like Werner Herzog's demented penguin.
Oh, I don't know
if you're familiar with...
This is the third time in the past 24 hours that Werner Herzog has been commented on to me.
Well, he's reliable. He's reliable. I don't know what else to say except thank you, Verna. do you remember the video of the demented penguin walking towards certain death?
Yes, exactly.
So I thought about what it is to be a human and the very contradictory nature of being a human.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagined this woman walking towards the edge of the planet and shouting warnings back over her shoulder to us.
Right.
I also am very interested in the idea. So I had said, okay, a novel in warnings. Warnings. What is the language of a warning?
Mm.
Well, a warning is the earliest language that we hear as toddlers. Don't do this.
Yeah,
watch that.
Look
be
out.
Careful.
Yeah.
Look out. I thought, well, what about exit language and us exiting and giving retroactive warnings to those that are left behind? I think it would be very, very convenient and handy.
It would be.
I'd like to make a few requests myself, you know? So it's very important. The other thing is, this is a novel where we are in the mind and the kidneys and the abdomen and the brain of a 74-year-old woman. It's quite unusual for us to spend 320 pages in such a place. And I think you might agree she's some woman for one woman. So it had to have a sort of epic Beowulf sort of feel to it.
Wow.
But also, she is in a situation where she's trapped in her home with a man she's been lumbered with. So the story is that Bina finds a man in the ditch, essentially, and takes him in and then cannot, you know, get rid of
him. Get him out.
I was really interested in the idea of this woman who knows that there's nobody coming to help her.
Mm-hmm.
This is a situation where by the end of the novel, she's very honest about what she's lumbered herself with.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea that she might be exiting her kitchen where she cannot resolve what's happening and going into other people's kitchens to help them be relieved of intolerable suffering seemed like an apt metaphor.
Yeah.
I notice in your book that there's always somebody on the property. It almost seems like they're very invasive in her home as well. And whenever she looks out the window, there they are. What was the purpose of that? It actually made me feel a little claustrophobic and almost like I was having dreams and these were images from your book in my dreams.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Well, so I think what you're remarking on is that there's a group of sort of new age travelers. I call them crusties. I think in Canada we might call them granolas. And so they've become, you know, so at the beginning of the novel, Bina has been arrested for helping. She's arrested for the suspicion of aiding and abetting in a suicide, an end of life suicide. And so a big group of like young crusties arrive on her farm, and they decide they're going to protect her if the police come or the guards come, which they inevitably will. And so they camp upon her land. And Bina, on the other hand, wants nothing to do with anybody defending her. She's perfectly capable of defending herself.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of humor in also the generational gap and the way in which, and I do think it speaks to the fact that in the broader sense, with end-of-life choice, we refuse to acknowledge that people know what they want.
Mm.
We refuse to allow Auntie Agatha or Granny to say, you know, I'm 82 years old, you know, and I've had enough. And so I like the idea that she's basically, these do-gooders have arrived to protect her dignity and, you know, and make a big circle around her house. And she says, be off. I'm ready to accept whatever my fate is, you know. So it was a great source of humor, the cultural, the generational distance. But that's a very interesting idea. And this is one of the things that I absolutely love. It's about the only love, actually, about writing novels, is this point where the reader comes. Blanchot always said, the writer is the first reader of the work. Yeah. And so the reader comes to this novel and completes the novel. And so when you describe for me what you experience, I immediately learn what I've created because it becomes apparent to me, oh, yes, of course. I have been creating my sort of Werner Herzogian demented penguin image. But in actual fact, I've created this hermetic world. And my novels are hermetic in this way. It's very important that they're not about something. They actually are something.
Mm.
So if by the end of the novel, you haven't left with something so molten, I failed as a novelist.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for having, you know, vicious dreams and images and feeling claustrophobic.
No problem.
And given where we are today, and given that I assume we are like partial to the classical music realm.
Mm.
I mean, I have that experience when I listen to Shostakovich.
Right.
I regularly draw an awful lot in my work on music. These books are very carefully scored down to the note.
Mm-hmm.
I had this idea when I first started writing that I tried to imagine music underneath the prose.
Mm.
And how could I create like a muscularity in the way that music does that? And especially the pause. I'm fascinated by the pause in music.
Well, it's like Keith Richards said, the most interesting things are the notes that aren't played.
I've got to point out that Keith Richards is a darn sight more interesting than this old bird.
I don't know about that.
Let me ask, speaking of music, I want to ask you one final question. Of all the ghosts in history to have visit or torment you or what have you will, Bina has David Bowie. Why David Bowie?
David Bowie. Every listen, I'm an old woman. I'm only 48, but I'm aging prematurely. I believe in the expediting age, you know, as opposed to, you know, harking after youth. So I'm very excited about being a very old woman. And I just think every woman needs a visit from David Bowie. It's actually a nod to the Catholic liturgy. It's a nod to, I'm obviously from Ireland originally, my Irish Catholic culture. You know, Bernadette Lourdes appears in the rose bush. I mean, all of the Christian mystics had visions. So why not in the contemporary age, can a 74-year-old woman, you know, in her house in rural Ireland not be having fabulous visitations from David Bowie, who gives her very solid advice on her situation.
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful moment when she says, watch your back, David, I think the wall might be damp there.
That's it. Now, this is, okay, one final question. I mean, this is your third novel, which contains, which all goes back to your original, your debut novel, Malarkey, in 2012, where Bina was a minor character, Philomena was a much larger character. What compels you to go back to that original story? And is your next novel going to be like the fourth edition of it?
The quartet.
Yes.
You know, that's a fantastic question. And thank you for noticing that I've written three books.
I've noticed it.
You know, originally I wanted to actually create a work that would be a diptych, and it would be two works that would be read simultaneously. And I think that, you know, Knopf Canada are pretty glad I didn't do that because that would be a complicated project to execute. But in essence, Bina took over and her voice became so strong. She became like a sort of French horn solo, just putting a shout out for the French horn there, a much underrated instrument. So, you know, there's something kind of Balzacian about, you know, dragging, picking these characters up. But I have to say, I've discovered as I've done this, I never go back to that first novel.
Well, I didn't mean the exact.
No, but the characters, second novel, the character existed in Malarkey too.
Yeah.
But I never once went back to look at, okay, what was he in Malarkey? Mm. And the only time I did that with Bina, which I find strange given that they sit beside each other and they do intersect. The only time I did it in Bina was when my editor suggested something about the wording, and I realized, hold on a minute, this sentence is a repetition from the first novel.
Ah.
And I had to go back and I discovered, of course, my editor was absolutely right and I was, you know, wrong. And then I thought, oh, isn't this strange that I don't ever go back to pick up? And why is that? So I was going to write a quartet, but in actual fact, it's a trio. You know, piano, cello, and I guess violin, maybe. French horn.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in today, and thank you
indeed
for writing this book. This this has stayed with me for a long time, and I'm sure a long time to come. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Been speaking to Anna Kana Schofield. Her new novel, Bina, A Novel in Warnings, has just been published by Knopf Canada. Run out and pick it up at your favorite book emporium.